Our reading for this Sunday of Candlemas is from Luke chapter 2, verses 22 to 40. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marvelled at what he had said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. Today we celebrate the festival of Candlemas, which, depending on your tradition, marks Jesus' presentation at the temple and the purification of the Virgin Mary. It's a festival that coincides with the appearance of snowdrops. All around this area, stately homes are opening up their gardens to show off the spectacular scenes of carpets of snowdrops. I love it. Going way back in history, snowdrops and Candlemas have had a really strong association, not just because they happen at the same time of year, but also because of what the flowers have come to symbolise. And those symbols work on many levels. Their pure white flower has come to represent the purity of Mary. For some, snowdrops are banned from being indoors, as they represent death. And Simeon, in the Bible passage, did talk about Christ's death in the midst of his joyous song. He references a sword piercing Mary's soul. He references salvation. He talks about his own death. However, my particular favourite parallel is that drawn from the association of the snowdrop with hope. In the UK climate, the snowdrop has become synonymous with the early signs of spring. We've had the cold, dark harshness of the winter season with a real lack of colour on the landscape. And the snowdrop heralds the warmer, brighter and much more colourful seasons to come. It also represents the cycle of life and even resurrection, as do many plants and flowers. While appearing to have died, it's the first flower to rise from the ground and declare that life has indeed conquered over death. When you think of all these things, it's easy to see, isn't it, why the snowdrop has become so strongly linked with the Christian festival of Candlemas. But what do they tell us about God? And what do they mean for us today? Over the last few weeks of Epiphany, we've been thinking about revelation, those light bulb moments that God blesses us with when we have all our senses alert to encountering him. And of course, when we're obedient to him. Here in this account of Jesus being presented at the temple, we have several experiences of revelation. Simeon, a man of God and deep faith, has been waiting expectantly for what's described as the consolation of Israel, which we can interpret as the coming of the Messiah and the comfort that this will bring to the suffering nation of Israel. Simeon is prompted by the Holy Spirit to head to the temple, and not knowing why, he obediently does so. There he meets Jesus, and there is an immediate recognition that Jesus, this child, is the Messiah, a powerful moment of revelation, which Simeon then puts into the moving words of verses 29 to 32. Words that have actually been adopted into the Anglican tradition as what we call the Nunc Dimittis, said or sung at many services. Let me just read those words of recognition, revelation and praise again. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Like the snowdrop, Simeon sings of the light and hope Jesus brings into a dark world. It's the same light and hope God offers for us today when we're ready to welcome Jesus into our lives. However, as I touched on a few moments ago, the story of Simeon coming face to face with Jesus is not without its struggles. Simeon has clearly been waiting a very long time for answers to his prayers and to see God's promise to him fulfilled, that he would see the Messiah in his own lifetime. He's needed patience and much faith. Of course, we too in our prayer lives and during times of difficult waiting need to hold on to faith and, with the daily help of the Holy Spirit, find the patience we need, as God's presence may not always feel as obvious as we'd like waiting for snowdrops to herald spring in the middle of winter. We can look to the earth and at times see no signs of that hope. Even at this point in God's undeniable presence and occasion of great joy for Simeon, there remains an underlying knowledge that life is not going to be easy. The presence of Jesus does not remove suffering. He gives us the ability to live with it, with light and hope. Simeon even prophesies in verse 34 that Jesus himself will be the cause of the fall, or indeed rise, of many. A warning to all that believing in Jesus brings hope and salvation, but anything but that for those who reject him. So to summarise, before I briefly come to the prophet Anna to finish with, Jesus' presentation at the temple, Candlemas, offers us the promise of revelation and hope when we trust in God and live with expectation, no matter how long we have to wait at times. Our relationship with God does not come free from suffering, but when we invite Jesus into our lives, we always find hope through difficulties. In contrast, when we fail to recognise the presence of Jesus and when we don't walk with him, we miss out on the salvation he brings, the salvation of life conquering death, like the snowdrop. Now, like Simeon, the prophet Anna has also lived a life faithful to God in spite of the hardship she faced. The grief of the loss of her husband after just 7 years of marriage. Sheila faced immense challenges as a widow living in that society. She too experiences a revelation, an instant recognition of who the baby Jesus really is, that he is the Messiah, or as it says in verse 38. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gives thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She sees Jesus as the Messiah, not just a little baby. Now, Anna's immediate response to meeting Jesus and recognizing Jesus as God is to share the good news of his arrival. She doesn't keep the excitement to herself. She recognizes that this special moment for her is not just a personal one between her and God. It's her job to then go and tell others and to take the hope and light that she's experienced to everyone else. A revelation shared. It's the command Jesus gave to his disciples and by extension to us in Mark 16, verse 15. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations. The gospel, the good news of Jesus. It's much like the first sight of a snowdrop, and I do it myself. There's a tendency, it's a natural tendency, to go on and draw everyone else's attention to those beautiful, pure white flowers appearing from an apparent dead earth, providing the promise of a future to come.